This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Now you talk about a woman of faith. Amen. Isaiah Reed's mother, she began to pray over her son and ask God to be merciful to him and raise him from the dead. And Isaiah Reed started breathing again, laying there with an autopsy being performed. And the doctor sewed him back up, and in 30 days he was out of the hospital and right back out on the street being a pimp. I think, God, if I was you, I'd have killed him. And he wouldn't have to worry about dying. I'd have killed him. Do you see the difference between God's grace and my grace? I ain't there yet, Benjamin. We're working on it, aren't we? Yes, we are. But the guy's out there on the streets, he's all this sin and everything, and then one night they're in a party, and they're having sex, and they're taking drugs, and they're doing everything in the world, and all of a sudden, one of the girls starts crying. He said, what's wrong with you, woman? You want some more money? She said, no, I don't want no money. He said, what, you need some more drugs? She said, no, I don't want no drugs either. He said, well, anytime a woman don't want drugs and they don't want money, it's time to knock them out. I'll tell you where he lived, doesn't it? He reached up there and grabbed that woman. I pulled back and I said, I know what I'm going to do for you, woman. I'm going to pray for you. That's because of the prayers of his mother. God had taken over his tongue and he said, where did that come from? I'm going to pray for you? So because of his mother's prayers, he prayed a prayer of faith and that woman got delivered and saved right there and totally changed her life. And she's talking about how wonderful it is. I'm delivered and I know Jesus now. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to Isaiah in an audible voice. Said, Isaiah, how about you? What are you going to do with your life? He said, who's talking to me? He said, I am, Isaiah. I'm God. He said, God, I don't believe in you. He said, Isaiah, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to die and go to hell. And I paid the price for you. He said, all you got to do is ask me to save you. He said, there ain't nobody can save me. He said, I can. He said, well, then do it. He said, you got to really ask me by faith. He said, okay, God, you're the man. If you can do anything, I'm here. And he said, the next thing I know, I'm on the floor, mopping up the floor with my tears, repenting, confessing my sins. And the guy got saved and delivered of everything. You know, and as I watched this man, for he's walked and what he's done and his testimony, and the woman that had became his wife, he was sent to prison after all the things he'd done. And while he's in prison, this woman, which he had fell in love with, which he had pimped her, no telling how many abortions she had had, and now she had two or three or four other kids that she didn't abort, and now then, he loves it, and I think one or two of them kids was his, but they were never married or nothing. And then all of a sudden, here he is in prison, sitting there one night, and God speaks to him and says, Isaiah, call, and I forget what her name is, I can't think right. Anyway, the girl said, call her and tell her you want to marry her. He said, God, I'm in prison with no telephone. He said, I know, but ask the guard. Asked the guard, I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning. So he said, okay, guard, come over here. So guard come over. He said, what do you want? He said, I want to call my girlfriend, tell her I want to marry her. He said, you and 3,000 other prisoners in here want the same thing. He said, who do you think I am? He said, no, God told me to tell you and you'd let me out. He said, God said that? He said, yeah. He said, come on. He opened the door, took him up to the warden's office, and he picked up the telephone and called her number. And when he called her number, she was just fixing to kill herself and all the children. Does God know what's going on? The king knows what's going on. So he asked this girl to marry him. She accepted, and he said, as soon as I get out of prison, which is not going to be long, we'll get married. And they did. And, of course, both of them's lives has changed. She accepted Jesus through all of that. And today, that couple is going around this country preaching the Word of God, and they're totally different. And when I look at the glory of God, do you know Isaiah Reed? You ever heard of him? You never heard of him? You have, haven't you? Some of y'all, there are some back there that has. Some of you heard of him. I'm telling you, the night that somebody gave me a copy of that DVD and I took it home, I had to watch it twice. I thought, God, when you talk about your grace, I had completely forgot what your grace really is. Because if I had a child I'd created on this earth and he'd done everything that boy's done, or if I had a daughter done everything that girl had done, and I'd tried and tried to bring her back home. I mean, whenever that guy shot him in that car, I'd have just put another guy there to shoot him one more time and got it over with. But see? But the grace of God, Benjamin. I mean, when you think, oh, I'm so wicked, God couldn't save me. Hey, all you need to do is get a copy of Isaiah Reed's testimony and give it to somebody and say, look at this guy. If God can save this guy, he can save anybody. You know? But see, this is what we miss about the magnificence of the grace of God and what He'll do for us. All we got to do is repent. You know, but that's something we miss. We come to God with sickness and disease, not understanding why we're sick, but it's because of sin. And so we repent of our sins, and when we do, then His mercy and grace, He forgives us, and then when we pray in faith, He hears our prayer and He restores us to health. He promises that in His Word. But it's like we don't believe nothing He says. But He's telling us what to do here when we've been disciplined. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined us, should we not all the more cheerfully submit to the discipline of our Heavenly Father and live forever? I like that, Sharon, don't you? Living forever? But I like living forever in good health, don't you, girl? Absolutely. I mean, sure, and she's become one of our great prayer warriors out at the Ministry Center. Man, she can just pray the prayer of faith for people and see God do great and wonderful things. It says in verse 10, for our earthly father disciplined us for a few years. Just a few years. Doing the best they knew how. Because that's, you know, I don't know about you, but when our children came along, I looked on their stomachs, but I didn't see any instructions written how to raise them. I thought, surely they must come out with instructions. But there wasn't none. But later, I did find the instructions. And you know where I found them? Written in the Word of God. The instructions are there, aren't they, Benjamin? The King will tell you everything there is about raising children. I mean, everything is written in the Word of God. And if you do it like God says in His Word, you and God can raise some wonderful children. Now, if you try to do it on your own without this magnificent book, you're going to mess it up. So you study this book. It says, but God's discipline is always right and good for us because it means we will share in His holiness. Why is He disciplining you? He's bringing you into a place of holiness. And it says there, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. I don't like discipline. I mean, you know, I don't like the belt. I don't like the rod. I don't like that. But the Scriptures even says that no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. And it is. But afterwards, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Now think, if you train your children right, you'll have a little bit of turmoil in the process while you're training them. And they won't like it. When Daddy says, son, this hurts me more than it does you, I used to think, he's crazy. Yeah, right. I didn't understand it. I wasn't a father then. All I knew was I was fixing to get the switch on my backside and I knew this is going to hurt. But I didn't understand what Dad meant. So, son, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. But I later learned what he meant. We've all been there that have raised our children. Verse 12, so take a new grip. I like that term. Reach out and take a new grip. Get a hold with your tired hands and stand firm with your shaky legs. Reach out there. I mean, that old grip, if you're about to lose your grip. In fact, I was thinking about my granddaughter. I didn't see her do this. But Tim bought one of those 24-foot things that's called climbing the wall. You know, I had never seen one of those things. And he bought that thing, and it's like a half circle, a big old half circle. It's got little lugs all over it for kids or anybody else to climb. And, of course, laying down on a trailer, it looks little. I said, pretty long. How long? He said, 24 feet. I said, 24 feet? Man, that's way up yonder. Stand that trailer up 24 feet. And I said, kids climb that? I said, what if one of them falls? Oh, he said, we got harnesses and everything and straps and cables and the whole nine yards. So they put that on and they go up there. And when they get to the top, they just kind of push out. And that air cylinder just lets them down to the ground. This is slow and easy. So they happen to fall. No problem. My little granddaughter got on that thing and she wore a big blister in the palm of her hand because she's getting such strong grips on those little lugs and her little feet. And she climbed 2/3 of the way, almost 20 feet up on that thing. You think, wow. I thought, no, don't let her get up there. But she got a shoulder harness on. She's got a strap on. But every time she'd turn loose of one of those things, you know, you got to hold over here and you got a foot down here. But when you turn loose here, you got to get a new grip in a new place. If you don't get a new grip, you're going to turn loose and you're going to swing out and you're going to fall. Now, there's not a big deal if you got an air cylinder and a shoulder harness on you to let you down to the ground. But in this walk we got, some of us don't have that. We're way up there in the mountains. So make sure you get a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs. Then he says in verse 13, mark out a straight path for your feet. A straight one. Don't take a crooked path. Then those who follow you. Now listen to this. This is very important. If you will make a straight path for your feet, then he says, then those who follow you, though they are weak and lame, they will not stumble and fall, but will become strong. When I saw that, I said, Lord, help me to get a new grip on life. Help me to straighten my pathway straight and walk it only with you.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.